Morning all. It's really great to be here. And like you heard, there's a lot of work that can be done up in the mountains, and it's actually not that far for you guys. It's just a stone's throw up the road. We, like Lulu said, are going to be focusing very strongly on church planting in the next weeks and months to come. And one of the projects that we are definitely going to embark on is at that at Joshua School, the one that the guys from Piketberg did the benches for. They are in desperate need of another classroom, and that is also in the village Alasala where we want to plant the first church. And the idea is to actually must probably be able to build a church building adjacent to the school building, so that it can become more like a community center as well, and the school can actually use it during the week for extra space for them, and then over the weekends we can use it for church or in the evenings as well as we need to have meetings. So there's many practical things to be done, and then obviously also not neglecting the evangelism. The people there are hungry. I guess Philip and them told you guys when they came back about how hungry the people are up there just to receive the gospel as they went out and just shared with the people the love of Christ and be able to pray with them, and all the healings that took place. That is so encouraging to us that God really is using each of us as we partner to reach the people of Lesotho, and specifically in Semenkong and surroundings. Well, I would like to share with us this morning out of God's Word, out of Matthew 27 and 28. And my title, if you want to give it a title this morning, is actually quite a weird one. It's Saturday, but Sunday is coming. So bear with me as we develop that. Tonight we'll look at something. I mustn't say conservative, because that might also be not. But we'll look at something different tonight. Matthew chapter 27. Let's start verse 50. Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. Let's go down to verse 62. The next day on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver once said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first." Pilate replied, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. Just the observation here. They go to Pilate and they say, just now the disciples go and spread the story. If you actually read on further later, that's actually what they actually advised the guards to say eventually when Jesus rose. Ridiculous. Matthew 28, verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothes was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was laid." Now, just a few weeks ago, we celebrated Easter. And I think that is most probably one of the biggest events on the Christian calendar.
the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what our whole faith is based on. That is what whole Christianity is based on. And if we just look at it, and we just think for a moment about it again, on the Friday, Jesus was crucified. And His death, His body being broken, that brought to us healing for our bodies. That His blood that was shed, that is bringing for us the washing clean from our sin. And then on the Sunday, we get to the resurrection. And we saw that Jesus rose. It brought us new life. A victorious life. Death was overcome. But you know, in between these two, I nearly can say pillars of our faith. In between these two major days, the Friday and the Saturday, there was a Saturday. A day that the Bible actually doesn't say much about. Really, one of the only things that we read about it was these guys that went to Pilate to complain and say, you know, we need to do something to make sure that this guy doesn't get up, you know, because just now they steal his body. But furthermore, there's nothing much said about the Saturday. It's as if God was quiet on that day. It's as if the whole world were in waiting for what is going to happen. But although it seems as if nothing much was happening, this actually is a very important day. It is the day right before the resurrection. It is the day before breakthrough and victory came for us as Christians. It is the day before the new birth. The Sunday is nearly more important than the Friday, as the Friday would be nothing if Jesus did not rise from the dead. If He did not rise from the dead, the Friday would have been in vain. But I want us to look this morning at these events just from a little bit of a different angle. And I want us to look at the crucifixion, what happened on the Friday, that stuff that happens in our lives. We often are struck with crises, problems, needs. I don't think there's anybody here that can say this morning, well, I've never had a need. I've never had a problem. Is there anybody who's never had a problem here? Nobody. Okay, so we're all fairly human. Okay? And on the Sunday, the resurrection, it is the time for breakthrough. The time that the answer comes. It's as if on the Friday, we are faced with our problems. We are faced with our needs. And then we go to the Lord in prayer. We say to Him, Lord God, I've got this problem. I've got this crisis. I've got this need. And then on the Sunday, the Lord comes and He gives us the answer. He gives us a breakthrough. But you know, in between our prayer on the Friday and the Lord's answer on the Sunday, there's the Saturday. There's the time of waiting. It's here that we need to keep believing. It's here that we need to keep trusting. It's here that we need to keep hoping, fixing our eyes on God, that everything will work out. It's here that we need to keep our faith, stand on the promises of God that He's not leaving me alone in this crisis. I'm not facing this problem alone. He is with me. And He is going to bring the answer. He is going to answer my prayer. He is going to sort this mess that I'm facing. He's going to sort that out. We all go through it. Our crisis, our problem, God's answer, and in between, our waiting period. And I want to say this morning that it is there where we pray that that waiting period becomes actually the most important time in our lives. Because it's what we're doing in that waiting period, it's what we're doing on that Saturday in our lives that is going to determine what is going to happen on Sunday. Because often we break down before we get to Sunday. Often we stop before we get to Sunday. And there's many things, many ways in which we do this. Many ways in which we actually, our actions determine and influence, I nearly want to say, God's answer. Not taking away anything of that, that God is sovereign, that God can do anything. But often we give up in that waiting period. Often we pray, we face a problem, we face a crisis in our lives, and we pray, and then we wait, and nothing happens, and we give up. We say things like, it's taking too long. Maybe this is not God's will for me. Maybe other things become more important. Maybe somebody has asked you to pray with them for something. And you are praying with them, but the answer is not coming. And even because it's not your problem, you just stop praying. Because other things take your attention. Many times we give up. In a way, the disciples gave up. In Luke chapter 24, verse 11, something extraordinary happened. You remember, we stop reading in Matthew 28 where the women went to the grave and they found the grave empty. The disciples were busy meeting in a house, praying together, encouraging each other, just even comforting each other. The woman found the empty tomb. And the angel said, go tell the others. Go tell the others about this joy. The breakthrough that came. Jesus is risen from the dead. The women run. They get to the house. And they say to the disciples, guess what? Guess what? You'll never believe this. The Lord has risen. The tomb is empty. Luke 24, verse 11. The words uttered by the 12 disciples who walked with Jesus for 3 years, who heard all his teachings, who were with him every day. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. And we think, how can they ever have done that? How can they be so stupid? How could they not believe that the Lord is risen? How many times have you stopped praying before God answered your prayer? How many times did you stop believing the promises that God has given you in His Word? I've done that. How stupid of me. The other thing that we often do in that waiting period is we start doubting. We start doubting. Is this really God's will? Does He really want me to do this? Will He ever answer? Doubting is human. Doubting is human. And sometimes it's not such a bad thing either. Because you know God is bigger than our doubting. And He will help my unbelief. John chapter 20, verse 25. We all know this. One of Jesus' disciples. Just listen to what happened to him. Then they told him, that is now the disciples, telling one of them by the name of Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But he, that is Thomas, replied, "I won't believe it until I see the nail wounds in his hands, till I put my finger into them and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again. This time, Thomas was with him. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put my hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. One of his disciples doubted. It's human. But you know, if we get to that point where we realize I'm doubting. I cannot continue believing God anymore on my own. This crisis, this problem is becoming bigger than I can ever handle. This waiting is getting too long. And then we can reach out to God and say, "God, I'm human. I'm failing here. Help my unbelief." And He will. Another of His disciples had exactly the same experience. Peter. You remember the time that they were in the boat and Jesus came walking on the water? And Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to get up, get out and walk to you on the water." And Jesus said to him, "Come." And what happened? He took his eyes off the Lord. He took his eyes off the Lord. And he started sinking. And in Matthew 14, verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" Are you doubting this morning? Are you in that waiting period? As the storms of life come against you, are you faced with these problems? And you don't know how to overcome them? You don't know which way to turn. You've been praying and praying and praying and nothing is happening. And you start wondering maybe in your heart, is God really interested in me? Is God really hearing my prayer? God will never leave you, not even in that situation. He will reach out. And like Peter, He will pull you out of the water. The other way that we do, other thing that we do often, and I think sometimes I'm very good at that, in that waiting period, is we actually tend to help God. Because we know how to do this thing, hey? I know exactly how to sort this out. And God, really? You know, I know you, God, but maybe in this situation, I've now waited long enough for you to do something, and maybe it's now time that I just give you a little bit of a helping hand here, Lord. I'll just help you to sort this problem out. You know what? At the end of the day, our helping is actually messing it up. Because we only see from our perspective. We don't see from God's perspective. We don't see the full picture. We don't see why He is steering our lives in this direction. And sometimes we think, no, God, you know, maybe let's just make a bit of a left turn here. Let's just adjust the course a bit. And we start helping God. But we're actually not helping. We are messing it up. So what must we do? What must we do after we've prayed? If we now not supposed to give up, if we're supposed to keep having faith, keep believing God, not doubt, and not help Him either, what must we do? We need to wait. It's Saturday. Sunday is coming. And while we wait, we keep on praying. We keep on believing. We keep on standing on His promises. We keep on keeping on. And often that long wait is important because it keeps us humble. It builds our faith. It keeps us at Jesus' feet. And at the end of the day, it will show God's greatness. It will show the fact that He is in control. That He do know the best. There's nothing that can happen in our lives that can make God fall off His throne. Nothing. Might come a shock to you, but God is in control. And my problems is not going to make Him fall off His throne. My problems, when I bring it to God, is not going to keep Him up at night. He's not going to pace up and down the corridors of heaven and thinking, I wonder what I must do about Fatty's problem. I really don't have an answer here. No. God knows. God knows exactly what His plans are for you and for me. And His plans are not to hurt us, but to lift us up, to strengthen us. The problem comes in that waiting period, where we take our eyes off the cross, where we stop believing, where we start scheming and making our own plans, where we think maybe I must just help God a little bit here. No, we need to keep trusting God. We need to keep trusting God. You might be in a very long Saturday at present. You might be waiting now already for a long time for God to answer you. I don't know your situation, but this morning I want to say to you that God knows you. He loves you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Even though the waves might be much bigger than you can face, even though it might be feeling to you that the waves are actually rolling right over you, I want to assure you that God is there with you. He reached out to Thomas. He reached out to Peter. And in many different ways, He reached out to to each of the other apostles. And in the same way, He wants to reach out to you this morning. What is your Friday? What is your crisis? What is your problem this morning? Is it that you may be trusting for a very long time already for the salvation of a family member or of a friend of yours? You've been praying weeks and months and years and nothing is happening. Are your finances in a mess this morning? You don't know how you're going to make even the end of this month. Maybe you're a businessman and your business, everything is going south. God knows it. Maybe you've got a need this morning that you need to bring to the Lord. Maybe you need to come and ask for healing. Maybe we need a job. Whatever. God is here this morning. He's not forgotten you. He knows you. He knows what your need is, even without you saying it to Him. He knows how long you are carrying that burden already. He knows what's going on in your heart, in your mind. The thoughts of you been thinking about it. How many times you wanted to give up. How many times you've doubted. All the little plans and schemes you've made. He knows about all of them. But this morning, I believe He wants to say to you that Sunday is coming. The answer is coming. The breakthrough is coming for you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on believing. Keep on bringing that thing to Him in prayer. I want us to bow our heads this morning. Father God, we just thank You, Lord, that just like Sunday came and You rose up from the dead. Thank You, Lord, that as that happened, we can also know this morning that whatever is going on in our lives, You will give us the victory. You will give us the breakthrough. You will make us victorious. You will never leave us nor forsake us. I want to ask You this morning, as You're sitting there, if you are tired of waiting, we would like to pray with you again. We would like to encourage you again to keep on keeping on. Don't you want to just raise your hand as you're sitting there? If you want us to pray with you this morning, even maybe you've got a new need, a new crisis, a new problem, you've never brought it even to the Lord. He wants you to bring that this morning. Is there anyone? Just raise your hand. And we'll pray with you. Anyone else? Father God, we just commit ourselves to You. Lord, You've seen the hands.
Lord, we just pray for these people. Father, that You will just encourage them. That You will just reassure them that You are with them in that waiting period. That You are busy moving stuff in the heavenlies. That Your answer is coming. Lord, help us to keep our faith. Help us to keep our eyes focused on You. Help us, Lord, to keep believing. Pray in Jesus' name. Maybe there's someone here this morning that has never accepted Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not even in a relationship with Him. And you're hearing us this morning just talking about our problems and bringing it to the Lord. And well, you've never even brought your life to Him. You've never even responded to His crucifixion and resurrection, where He bought eternal life for you. Maybe this morning you need to come and say, Lord, I bring my life. Save me. Forgive my sins. Make me Your child. If there's anybody like that, won't you just raise your hand? We would like to pray for you and just introduce you to our Savior. Anyone? Lord, we thank You for this time we could spend together. Thank You, Lord, for Your word that encourages us and that lifts us up, strengthens us. Father, we just pray that as we go into this week, Lord, that You will go with us. That Your presence, Your peace will accompany each of us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.